Hey everyone, welcome to the Small Screen Couch Commentary Podcast, where we watch your favorite TV shows, give you our thoughts, and ask for yours. I'm Alex.
And I'm Billy. We're excited to watch and rewatch the best TV shows from start to finish, and hope you're ready to take the ride along with us.
We'll talk about the best characters and their stories, reveal some hidden gems, and look for you to do the same.
From sci-fi to comedy, drama to anime, we've got it all covered. So grab your favorite snack, and we'll see you on the couch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the newest episode of Small Screen Couch Commentary, The Boys.
The Boys.
And we're on, what, episode five?
Five, man. Flying through at season two, it feels like.
It does feel like it's going by really quick. Like, in comparison to season one, I feel like, I don't want to say we're shooting it and recording it for forever, but it's felt much longer.
Yeah.
Like, to get to episode five of season one, it felt like a while. Not in a bad way.
No.
But yeah, this was a banger of an episode, I think.
It was a doozy.
You see what I did there though? A banger.
Oh. Took me a second, guys.
If you watch the episode,
then you get it.
Yeah. If you know, you know. But yeah, crazy episode. Not a ton of action.
But intense
action. The action that was there was intense.
Yeah.
Exactly. So real quick, as always, we want to know, what were you snacking on?
I had bologna and cheese sandwich.
Ooh.
Put some potato chips on it.
Okay.
A little bit of mayonnaise, crunch those potato chips down.
Nice.
Ate that bad boy.
Nice.
Within the first 5 minutes.
I mean, you know, a sandwich, if you're not finishing a sandwich in 5 minutes, what are you doing?
10 minutes is max.
10.
10 is max, dude. I'll give it to
you. If you're doing like a foot long, I can maybe see that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a
But it's a regular schmegler, you know, white bread sandwich.
Regular.
That's 5 minutes tops.
Tops, dude. See, I gave myself a little, like, you know, I give yourself some leeway.
Okay.
10 minutes.
All right. Okay. I was getting down on, and I know people are going to make fun of me for this. I've been on a cereal kick.
Oh, yes, right.
And I was getting down on some Frosted Mini Wheats.
Mm-hmm.
And look,
yeah.
We've had this discussion.
Sound off in the comments.
We've had this discussion. Yeah, please let me know, people. Is Frosted Mini Wheats an old person cereal? Because we've had this conversation, and amongst some other friends, we've had this conversation, and y'all think Frosted Mini Wheats is an old person cereal.
Mini Wheats is definitely. And
no,
Frosted
no,
means you're young at heart.
Shredded wheat. Which I don't even know if they make it anymore.
I hate
that. Is an old person cereal.
I hate the texture.
The second
of that
you
cereal.
Add frosted to something, it is automatically something for kids or young adults.
Not anymore. But yeah, I don't like the texture of the mini wheats.
Okay. And that's
an old person texture.
See, okay.
Yeah.
You had me until that last comment.
You had me hello. I mean, what?
I can understand you not liking the texture, but saying it's an old person texture, not with it. Moving right along, though, what was your rating for this episode?
8.6.
Okay.
Yeah.
High.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Like you said, not much action, but even the non-action moments were intense.
Yeah.
Or like very pivotal to the story.
I agree. And there's a couple things that we missed from the last episode that have a real impact in this episode that I definitely want to talk about. My rating for the episode, 8.4.
Okay.
8.4.
Not too far off.
So how do we want to go about this? I think we should touch on the couple things that we missed from the last episode and then kind of go into the couple different arcs here, because there's two like kind of major arcs and then some smaller ones there. So what are you feeling?
I'm here for the ride, brother. Let's go to the last things we didn't touch on.
So in the last episode, there's one kind of major thing that happened that we kind of glossed over. I don't even say we glossed over. We didn't talk about it at all. Partially my fault. And that was that Homelander and Maeve had gone on like a daytime TV talk show type thing.
That was last episode. We did miss that.
Yeah. Big moment that we missed. Also, that has a big impact in this episode.
Yeah.
But they were on a talk show, and they were kind of just like kind of doing, you know, vault damage control type stuff and trying to promote themselves, you know, being themselves.
Yeah, being celebrities.
Right. And Homelander, he made a very, very big move that whether you're talking about it in the show or if this was something in real life, like not like not a good thing. Mm-mm. So Maeve, we know, has been kind of protecting her. I don't even know. Do we want to say it's a girlfriend? Like
her girlfriend and
Elena.
And her, she's been hiding her sexuality from the public.
Right. 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 No one knows about her sexuality.
Yeah.
And Homelander pretty much ousts her.
Right. So it's Alyssa Milano, right? No.
What?
Who's the person interviewing them?
Maria Menounos.
Menounos, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. So she states, like, do you feel like, why are most superheroes, the majority of them, white male?
Right.
And so he kind of gets on the defense here, and he's like, well, look at the Seven. You check your facts.
Yeah, we've got A-Train.
We got A-Train's black. Then he goes, this is where, like, you start to see even more of the dark side of Homelander. He's like, we got Black Noir, who really doesn't side with anybody, so you got all them covered.
Right,
you
know, right,
it like
right.
That. Like, you got all them covered. And it's like, dude, that you sound like a dick.
Oh, 100%.
And then he's like, and we have someone in the Seven who's gay. And it's like a huge, like, silence.
Right.
Well, who?
And Marie's like, who is it?
It's Queen Maeve.
Yeah.
You know, and
which, by the way, and we don't find out until later, he didn't even, like, out her to what her sexuality actually is.
He's bi. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's what we find out in this episode.
Right. But you can automatically tell Maeve is like,
this was not planned.
Well, she's shocked. I don't think that she's embarrassed necessarily, but she did not want that to happen. And, you know, in the real world, that is a moment for people that are part of the LGBTQ plus community that is like a really big deal.
Yeah.
And
it's
so for
them to decide when to
exactly.
Do that.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. So.
Exactly. So for that to happen to Maeve in that way as kind of just like a damage control type thing to save Homelander's ass, she was upset with him. But also kind of just like, whoa, like deer in the headlights kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so we now know that the world knows about Queen Maeve. And that does play a big part in this episode.
It does.
And
because
he does mention her girlfriend's name.
Yeah, they have a talk afterwards.
Oh, he mentions it in the interview.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, yes, you're
public,
right.
Which is like, ooh.
But after the interview, Maeve kind of like, they have a talk, and she's kind of on to the fact that he knows about her. He knows that, you know, she's someone that she wants to protect. And so that kind of worries Maeve then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's been worried the whole time, but she didn't think that Homelander knew. And now that he does, and he's made it very clear to her, now she's really worried.
Yeah, big time.
The other big moment that we missed in the last episode was A-Train. So obviously we know from the ending of season one, he had his heart attack. Throughout season two, he's kind of just been recovering, and he's not quite himself. He's when he was chasing the boys through that underground waterway tunnel type jaunt, he like was having another like kind of mini heart attack, and Homelander was like, "Yo, like you're done."
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really at that point have some, you know, definitive closure to the situation. And in the last episode, at one point, A-Train's at the tower and he sees Shockwave. And he's like, what the fuck is he doing here? And he kind of thinks, okay, am I getting replaced? And he goes to talk to Ashley, and she's trying to reassure him, like, no, he was just here for, I think it was Vots Tots.
Yeah.
Which was like some, like, children outreach type thing.
Yeah. Adrian's like, what the fuck is Vots Tots? Yeah. She's like, it's for kids. He's like, I fucking love kids.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was like I think it was something with, like, kids that were, like, overweight.
Yeah.
Trying to get them in shape.
He's like,
or
I love fat kids.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
It's like, dang.
And so she's trying to cover it up, but then Homelander walks in. He's like, oh, good, you're here. And basically tells him, like, you're done.
Yeah.
And Adrian's like, whoa, like, why? Like, I'm still good. And he's like, buddy, you've lost a step. Dude. You know what's up. And Ashley's just like, oh, you're going to have, like, a great retirement. We're going to do parades. We're going to have, like, a good send-off for you. And Adrian's just not happy.
He's not happy about it. The one thing to note on this thing is he says, buddy, no, you're not. And you're like, oh, Homelander likes A-Train. Like, they're actually friends. And then it goes into this is, remember, this is nothing personal, yada yada. And he just goes, yada yada. That's what he says to him. And
right.
Like, you could tell it's like, oh, that buddy was very condescending.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? It seemed before this, like, they kind of might have been, not necessarily friends, but like...
Closer.
Closer.
Yeah.
You know? And clearly that is not the case
yeah.
at all. So, yeah, those were the two big moments we missed from last episode that do have a bit of an impact on this episode.
Yeah.
The Maeve one has a much larger impact, whereas the A-Train one, not as much, but still something that
there's some pretty important scenes in this episode with that. Yeah.
Right. So I think we do kind of like the... we'll talk about the boys and what they're going through.
Okay.
And then we talk about the superheroes and what they're going through. I say we start with the boys.
Let's go.
Because that's where a little bit more of the action was.
I'm riding it out, baby.
All right. So the boys are kind of split into two groups here. There's MM, Huey, and then kind of Billy, and then they come together.
Yeah.
And then there's Frenchie and Kimiko.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Frenchie and Kimiko and do that, because they have a smaller arc throughout the episode,
yeah.
But still one that I think is important. So Kimiko is still very much trying to, you know, but she's still mourning the loss of her brother.
Yeah.
The last time we kind of left off with them, she was going to try and attack Stormfront when she was at like a rally. Frenchie stopped her, but she's obviously still not coping with the situation very well. And, you know,
right,
who would,
yeah.
you know, but we see her, she's like kind of walking down the street. Frenchie is following her. And I don't know that she knows Frenchie's following her at this point necessarily, but she's just kind of walking and she has a very blank stare, which she always does
yeah.
for the most part. But then she walks into like this storefront or something. And there's these Russian guys that are all talking, and I don't want to sound like they were like your stereotypical Russian gangster type guy,
but they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kimiko walks in and they're kind of just like, oh, what are you doing here? You know, blah, blah. The one guy walks up to her and is like, I forget exactly what he says, but he essentially like says to his Russian buddies in Russian, like he's going to like try and make a move on her.
Yeah.
In a not consensual type way. Yeah. And she turns him around and slowly, literally rips his face off.
Yeah.
And you like see
the skin off his face.
Yes. And I'm just like, whoa. And then I think she snaps his neck.
No, she just rips it off and drops him.
Okay. Yeah. But then the next guy comes up. They start trying to fight. She
Why?
Like.
Why? After that situation, get the hell out of
it. If you see some lady rip your buddy's face off.
With ease.
Yeah. Why would you stick around? Like, even if you've got, you know, some firepower, which they had a little bit, but clearly didn't do anything for him.
Yeah.
Another dude comes up, tries to, like, go hand-to-hand with her.
Stupid.
That was dumb. She incapacitates him, kills him, rips his, snaps his neck.
Yep.
The next guy in the back, he starts shooting her, and he is unloading the clip. She is walking up to him unaffected.
Yep.
Now, Kimiko's not bulletproof necessarily. I don't think she was anyway.
No.
But the shots.
She heals. So
yeah.
She probably can heal fast enough that doesn't.
Right. And then she just walks up to him, kills that dude, makes quick work of them, and then just walks out like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Frenchie kind of walks in afterwards, sees what happened, and he's like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. He's kind of shocked.
Yeah.
He's a little bit appalled even. But essentially, then. We find out he keeps following Kimiko. She goes to a church and she meets up with Shari. And we pretty much find out that I don't know if it's not clear if Kimiko went to her or if Shari kind of recruited her. Maybe that we find out later. But Shari was kind of playing middleman to, I think it was Albanians, maybe?
Yeah, it was the Albanians.
Albanians paid Shari to pay Kimiko to...
make hits.
Yeah. And Frenchie's just kind of upset with Shari at first. Like, dude, what are you doing? And she's like, look...
I'm just the middleman.
Yeah, and she even tells him, I've already told you, like, she's her own person. She can make her own decisions. This is a decision she wanted to make.
Yeah.
That's that.
That's that. I just get 10%.
Right, right. And Frenchie kind of tries to reason with Kimiko then. It's like, you don't have to do this. Like, you don't have to blame yourself for your brother's death. You know, that's it wasn't your fault. She pushes him away and starts using her sign language to communicate with him. And she basically says, it is my fault. I'm got my baby brother killed.
Yeah.
Now, you see the subtitles when she's signing, but Frenchie doesn't know what she's saying. No one knows what she's saying when she's signing except for her brother. And he gets upset then. He says, I don't know what you're saying because you haven't taught me your language.
Yeah, because you haven't taught me. And you can tell he's just hurt.
Yeah, and he is. Absolutely.
That hits her for a second, I think. Like, you can see her emotion changes a little, but not much.
Yeah.
Here. And I think the most important thing is, like, fine, if you want to, then be that monster.
Right, right. You know, she tells him, like, I don't need your help. Stop trying to help me. And he's like, okay, you know what? And the way I took that, too, was, you know, obviously when we found Kimiko in the first season, she was just like an experiment for these, you know, terrorists that she was being held captive by. And she was being viewed as a monster. They had her in a cage, essentially. Yeah. And throughout the rest of season one, she was kind of not being that monster anymore. Like, especially that episode where they were in the hotel and she's, you know, trying to do her hair and her makeup pretty. And everything. Yep. You know, she was kind of coming out of that phase. And
now she's kind of a monster that they made her to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So definitely a pivotal moment in the episode, but I kind of feel bad for both of them. I feel bad for Frenchie because he's been just trying to help her. He's made some missteps along the way, obviously.
But he cares a lot.
He does. And for Kimiko, she has gone through so much in her life.
Yeah.
To then have the only person, literally the only person that understands her, both from a perspective of communicating and from what she went through, is now dead.
Yeah.
And it's her brother, her only like relative, presumably, that's alive. Well, yeah, because their parents died when the terrorist attack. Only person that knows what she's going through and can understand her, dead. She's going through it.
Yeah, 100%. So I can't blame her for going through what she's doing. But
I don't blame her for the emotions that she's having. Probably is not.
I don't know if she's making bank with these hits, dude.
I'm sure she is. She's probably making like, I'd say three Russian dudes. You know, that's probably at least a 10, 15K payday.
I would think so.
You know, I think
I don't know how Sheree the mob works or anything.
I don't know either. But she handed her like a thick stack. Yeah. And I'm assuming they were hundreds.
Yeah. Yeah. She still hands it at the end, like Sheree and Kimiko are standing there, and it's like real awkward, and Sheree just like, here's your money.
Now, here's my only thing, and I know it's one of those things where, you know, you kind of have to suspend, you know, belief throughout the a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
The boys are like wanted people. Like, not even like wanted, like they're like
top tier
wanted people. And they're still like in the busiest city in the whole world. Walking around like nothing.
Yeah.
Like when this season started and Huey was kind of going out to get to meet with Starlight, like he's like sneaking. He's wearing his hoodie. He's not going anywhere where, you know, he can be seen by a lot of people. But then after that, that whole like thing of them trying to be covert, it's kind of just dropped.
Yeah.
Weird. But, you know, you gotta suspend belief.
TV show.
I want to touch on Billy then, because him and MM and Huey don't meet for a little bit.
Yeah, and he's going through it as well.
He is. So when we last left Billy, he was...
got dumped.
In a matter of speaking. Like, I don't think he got dumped necessarily, but obviously his whole reason for this whole mission, everything that he's doing was to try and get Becca back. And when he finally gets to her, she's just like, I'm not going with you because you don't want to also take my son. Which I completely understand where she's coming from, because even though it's not Billy's kid, she's still Ryan's mother.
Yeah, 100%.
And so she knew that Billy wasn't going to accept him. And I think she's going through it too, because she still loves Billy, obviously.
Yeah.
She even says it to him when they are breaking up. Mm-hmm. But she knows that it would never work. And Billy pretty much makes that clear to her, too. Like, he says, like, he's just a soup freak. So that kind of stinks. But
yeah,
he's like in like a, like a CVS type. Oh, no. Yeah. He is in a dive bar at first. I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's kind of just drinking and smoking. And he goes off the deep end.
He just stares at this one guy for a little bit too long. And he's just like, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. It's like a rock show at a dive bar.
Yeah.
And he just goes up and starts beating the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
And Kobe will try to stop Billy. He just kind of shrugs them off.
Yeah. And then he gets jumped.
Well, he shrugs them off, continues beating the guy. But then, yeah, the whole crowd just starts beating the crap out of Billy.
Which is what he wanted.
Right. You see him. He's just on the floor. He's in the fetal position. He's covering his head or whatever. But you can see he's not expressing any pain. He's just there. And he's just like, yep.
Yep.
And I wonder, like, did he want that because he's feeling so numb that he wants to try and feel something, even if it's pain?
Yeah.
You know.
Basically.
But
yeah.
After that, we pick up. He's like in a CVS. He's getting, I think, like some stuff to bandage himself up or whatever. But then he also picks up like a
homeowner
like
doll.
Well, he picks up a dog toy, a squeaky dog toy at first. Yeah. And I don't know if he calls Huey or Huey calls him, but they're on the phone then. Huey's like, hey, like, what's wrong? And Billy's just not himself.
No, he's nice.
Yeah.
And
for a change.
He even calls Huey, you're my canary, you know, like kind of being real sweet to Huey about stuff.
Yeah, he's not being an asshole to him. He's not, you know, putting him down. And so they have a little conversation and Huey's kind of like taken aback because he's like, whoa, something's up here. Billy has the squeak toy, he squeaks it, you know, and Huey hears that, which is important.
Yeah.
But eventually then he just says, hey, I'm going off grid. Probably going to go down to Argentina. And he was just like, whoa, like, are you like, what's going on? Billy hangs up on him, takes a SIM card out of his phone, snaps it in half. And that's that.
That is that.
We go back to Huey then, who is with MM at wherever they're holding
their hideout. Yeah.
And MM's like, you know, who was that? And he's like, it was Billy. And he's like, oh, you know, what's he up to? And he's like, he said he's going off grid, but it was kind of weird. He was being nice.
Yeah.
And then MM just goes, tell me everything he said. Because
yeah.
He knows something's up. If Billy's being nice,
yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah. MM, again, this is another episode where MM just grows on your character list.
He's
so good.
I think out of the boys, he's my favorite for sure. I know you're a Frenchie guy. I like MM.
MM grows every episode.
Yeah. Every time he's in a scene, I'm automatically like, okay, like, what's he gonna say? What's he gonna do?
Yeah, and he does a couple things in the episode. There's like, yeah, he's the man.
Yeah,
yeah, but he also mentions that it was weird. He also had a squeaky toy,
right?
Or no, they mentioned that later. Maybe I don't know. Either way,
well, so we cut back to Billy. Then he is well. We don't cut back to Billy. We cut back to an old lady who is selling some Sweetwater taffy. Or saltwater taffy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
To another old lady.
Some taffy.
Which thoughts? Do you mess with saltwater taffy?
Hell yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never messed with it, bro.
Dude. Next time I get some, I'll bring some.
I don't like it.
Oh no. Ocean City, Maryland, maybe, where we go, we'll get some saltwater taffy.
You know what's weird? Like,
it's so good.
I don't like saltwater taffy, but I like Starburst. I like Now and Laters.
Yeah, you like
that. And
taffy.
They're not like the same, but they're similar.
Yeah.
But I don't like saltwater taffy.
Do you like Tootsie Rolls?
Not chocolate kind. The fruit kind, the fruitsies, I like those.
Yeah, you would like taffy then. You can get chocolate or fruit.
Maybe it's been a while since I've had taffy, like 15, 20 years probably. Yeah. And you know what I think it is? The times I've had taffy, it's been like chocolate, and I don't like Tootsie Rolls.
Gotcha, yeah.
So I think that's why I don't like saltwater taffy, because my experience has only been with like chocolate or like peanut butter kind. Maybe if I had like a fruit-flavored kind, maybe I'd like it better.
You would.
Tangent land done. But yeah, this old lady's selling, you know, giving her neighbor some saltwater taffy, and doorbell rings, and who is it? None other than Billy Butcher.
Yeah, Billy the Butcher.
And this lady is English, by the way. So we find out then that this is Billy's aunt. and Billy's there, and he essentially is going there to kind of hide out for a bit. And I think he's doing it because, aside from Becca, this is the only other person that we know he has any sort of real connection with.
He's not doing it for her.
No, he's doing it for him.
No, he's going there to drop one more gift off and say goodbye to a specific character.
True, true.
Yeah.
And who is that?
Terror.
Yeah. Terror, is he a French bulldog? Is that
yeah,
what he is?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, what a great French bulldog, yeah. Too.
He's like a big meatball, too. Yeah, he is. It's hilarious.
I love Terror.
But yeah, so he's there, and I guess he was going there to make that last stop before,
yeah,
you know,
goodbye.
Before he actually does go off the grid.
Because he has like a long conversation with Tara on a walk later, which is very important.
Yeah. But essentially his aunt's, you know, like, hey, you know, been worried about you and, you know, whatever. And he tells her a little bit about what's going on. But eventually then... why don't you talk about the walk he has with Tara?
Yeah, so he's like, well, I'm going to take Tara on a little walk. One, Tara don't need no leash. Well-behaved yeah. pup.
Very well-behaved pup, but I will say this, in the real world, I do not like when people have their dogs off leash. That's a conversation for another time, though.
Yeah, it all depends on how well-behaved, I think. But yeah, Tara's well-behaved, but he's having a conversation. He's saying, I went to go get your mom. She doesn't want to be with me anymore. And he basically says, like, what's the point now?
Right.
He's been doing everything for this one purpose. So you're starting to really think, like, oh, yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing else for him. There's nothing motivating him to move forward.
Right.
With anything or anybody. So he has that nice conversation with Tara. He even sees, like, an old person drive by on a scooter. And he's like, so this is what all boils down to. Is something and squeezing out a little bit of squeezing your dick for a little couple drops of pee.
Yeah.
And so you can see he's in just straight up depression mode. There's nothing to live for.
Right.
So I think that's really important to notice. And then, yeah, so they just go on their little walk. He's basically saying his goodbye to Terror.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's going to kill himself.
Pretty much.
Argentina means hell, I guess. I don't know.
I suppose so. But it's funny because, so we first see Terror. I guess it's in season one?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like middle towards the end of season one in a flashback with Becca. And so I wonder if when Becca had disappeared and Billy was starting his missions, you know, if he just stashed Tara because he knew, well, I can't take care.
Can't take him on these missions. Yeah, know? For sure.
So that's why he was at his aunt's. But then eventually... we see that some people catch up with Billy.
Yeah, he comes home from his walk with Terror, and he opens the door, and two people are on the couch. None other than Huey and M.M.
And his aunt's like, oh, oi, you didn't tell me you were having company. That was a terrible accent, by the way.
I thought it was pretty solid, dude.
But essentially, M.M. and Huey, they let him know, like, hey, we know something's wrong. We're here to find out what's going on. And he's like wondering, he's like, well, how did you track me here? And MM says, well, Huey heard you had a dog toy, a squeaky toy. And I know that you stash Tear here at your aunt's house. So that's how we found you.
Yeah. So they've been boys for a while.
Right. MM, Frenchie, and Billy have been together for probably a number of years. It seems like MM and Billy have a much stronger relationship than than Billy and Frenchie.
Yeah.
Because essentially when Billy had left to go rescue Becca, he put MM in charge.
Yeah.
Which is probably the right idea.
Yeah, oh,
because
100%.
Huey, obviously we saw what happened when he was trying to be the leader.
Yeah.
And Frenchie's
he's just a wild card, baby.
Frenchie is Frenchie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But shortly after they kind of have their little reunion there.
Billy's like, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah. Goes out the door. And immediately sees something that he doesn't like.
Yeah, he looks in the rearview mirror as he's getting ready to back out the driveway. And there's a little something on the roof in the neighbor's
yeah.
yard.
They're like in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And on the one house across the way, he notices something on the roof. And I didn't even see what it was at first. I was like, what the? And I'm like, oh, shit. And I am so happy.
I know. You've been waiting.
I have been waiting. He sees Black Noir
yeah.
on the roof of this house.
He's
and he shit. Goes back inside and... they're just like, whoa, like...
he's like, oi, we have company.
but yeah, he basically lets them know, like, hey, Black Noir is out there.
We're fucked.
Yeah. Because what are they going to do? They're in a neighborhood. They don't really have a whole lot of stuff.
And Black Noir, he ain't somebody to fuck with.
No. Clearly, you know, we haven't gotten a ton of black noir, but the stuff that we have gotten, black noir has been like amazing.
Yeah.
I think the last time we saw him in any action was the beginning of this season when he goes and kills Nakib.
Yeah.
The super terrorist, where super villain.
He gets blown up, and he doesn't get blown up, just his suit does.
Yeah, yeah. And Nakib was the one that could explode himself and then still live. And Black Noir, and this was like point blank range. Black Noir just had like kind of like part of his suit melted and his skin, you know, burnt and whatever, but that was it.
Yeah.
So what are the three of them gonna do against Black Noir?
Not
a whole lot.
But his aunt, who knows, maybe she's got superpowers.
Wouldn't that have been something?
That'd been pretty weird.
That would have been dope if the aunt, this yeah. old lady who's like in her like 60s or 70s, is like, yo, I got this boy. And y'all get out of here.
Yeah, and it's Billy's like relative too, so it'd be even weirder. Her twist is still pretty funny though.
Yeah. Well, it's funny thing because that as the tells them, you know, Huey, he kind of is like, being Huey's a little bit panicked or whatever. MM though, he's like,
we've heard them mention something real important.
Oh,
when
holler.
When Billy comes back to the house, his aunt says, he looks just like Lenny.
Yes, so that is an important thing.
All right.
Yeah.
So
and she's talking about Huey.
Yeah.
Saying that he looks like a spinning image of Lenny.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's back in the house. They know Black Noir is outside. They're trying to figure out what to do here. And MM's like, well, if he's going to kill us, he's got to do it in front of an audience.
Right.
So basically they call and they say that there's a gas leak or it smells like a gas leak. So now you've got ambulance and fire department showing up to this cul-de-sac. So
kind of buying them time a little bit.
I have one little issue here, which we'll
What's
talk
that?
About a little later.
Okay, okay.
But you have all the fire, you know, all this going on. And so Black Noir has to kind of duck down on that roof across the street.
Right.
So anyway, all this is going on. And as that's happening, they're setting up traps.
Yeah, MM goes to Billy's aunt and like says like a laundry list of all this different stuff. And is like, do you happen to have that here? And somehow she does.
She does. I love he's like, just like about this size. You know, he's always, he's like got all his like particulars because he's MM.
Right.
So it's
right.
pretty funny to see that. But yeah, she has all of it. So they're setting up traps. And Huey's like, is this right? It's kind of like Home Alone, just a little more gory, right?
You yeah. know? They're setting up like bombs in pots around around the house. Yeah.
Yeah. And Billy's not doing jack shit. He's on the couch with terror.
And yeah, he's just chilling.
Saying the same thing. He's like, what was it all really for, you know? So then Huey gets to be like, I'm going to motivate this motherfucker. And he
tries.
He tries. He's like, you know, your whole point was Becca. I get it. But now she doesn't want you. And that pissed Billy off.
Yeah, he was not happy about that. And I don't know if Huey meant to say that to like get him off of his ass or if Huey was kind of trying to give a dig back at him. Because, you know, obviously Billy's been an asshole to him most of the time. I want to say this, like at that point, it almost kind of seemed like before he had made the comment about Becca not wanting him, it kind of seemed like they were having like a decent moment
with each other.
You
know?
Yeah. Like Billy was kind of just like depressed and he was trying to talk him, you know, get him out of his funk and whatever. And then as soon as he said that, Billy went just into straight up like asshole mode again.
Yeah, he did.
And was...
He's like, yeah, you're weak. You're a piece of shit. All this kind of stuff.
Dude. Yeah.
It's like, damn.
And he basically said like, you know, you have been somebody that's been clinging to people. You cling to Robin. Then it was to Starlight. Then it's to me.
He's like,
and
I don't like, roll that way.
Yeah, he's like, I got to let you know I'm not interested. Like, I don't want you.
Yeah.
You know, which was a big turnaround from the beginning of the episode when they were talking on the phone to now. Then it's just kind of like... All right, well, it's back to business as usual for Billy.
Yeah, and I think part of it is maybe Huey didn't try it, but it brings him back to their original dynamic.
Yeah.
Where he is being a bit of an asshole to Huey, and Huey still has to keep him, you know, reined in.
Right, right.
Don't know if it's on purpose, but I feel like that's what happens here.
Yeah. But Billy is like, you know.
Because he's still, at this point, he is saying, like, you know what? This ain't going to work.
Yeah, I think he believes truly that, you know, there's nothing they can do. They're all going to die.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care.
So he's just like, you know what? Fuck it. It's not you guys that Black Noir's after.
That comes a little bit later.
Oh, really?
That comes a little bit later. That is at this part. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're right. But he does say that again later, essentially.
He's like, it's me he's after. Let me just go out there.
Yeah.
I can buy you guys some time to get out of here.
Right.
At this point, all the fire trucks are gone, and everybody's going back in their houses. So here's where I'm going to say that kind of like, I was like, what was the point of calling those people just to make bombs? It's like, when it was crowded and he had to duck down, get the fuck out the back door and go.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like get in your car and go. I don't know.
Well, so the other thing that happened in between all of this, they go into like a little hideout type.
Well, that happens after this conversation. Okay? So this is where MM kind of like, so
Huey's standing in Billy's way to try and not let him leave.
And he's like, I'm not going to let you go. And he's like,
don't make me move you.
I kicked your ass multiple times already.
Yeah.
And this is where, again, you love MM. He comes around the corner. He goes, yeah, you might be able to get him out the way, but what about me?
Yeah, he goes, good luck with me.
Dude, and you're like, you ain't fucking with MM, dude.
Yeah. So MM's at this point, then, Billy kind of concedes a little bit and is like, okay, I guess we'll figure whatever out. And they find out then that Auntie
has
a little hiding spot.
A little hiding spot. Let's go to the taffy room.
Yeah, exactly. And we find out then, it ain't taffy that she's selling. She's selling drugs.
I know. Billy just looks at her and is like, she's a dealer.
Yeah. So she's got this kind of hidden area in her house, in the basement, where she's got her drugs and whatever. And essentially, they go there to wait to see what Black Noir is going to do.
Yeah.
While they're down there, this is where the importance of the comment that his aunt made saying that Huey looks like Lenny comes into play. Huey is sitting with Billy's aunt, and he says to her, like, hey, you know, who's Lenny? You said I look like Lenny. And she explains to him that Lenny is Billy's brother.
Little brother. Yep.
And that when they were kids, Billy has kind of always been the way he is. Always been kind of a rogue, you know,
rough,
shoot first, ask questions later type person.
Yeah.
And Lenny has just been kind of his counterpart. And at one point, I think she said when they were at school or something, another kid punches Lenny in the face, breaks his nose, he's bleeding everywhere, and Billy goes over and just starts wailing on this kid.
Yeah,
I think she even says he puts him under the seesaw.
Under the seesaw and just keeps slamming his head. And she doesn't say it, but she's basically saying he's about ready to kill this kid.
Right.
Other people are trying to pull him away and they can't.
Yeah.
And so somebody comes in, it'd be Lenny, and is able to stop him and pull him away so they can walk away. And Lenny's kind of like a canary there.
Right.
Right. And so she's like, she even says, like, he's very much like Huey, like very frantic and scared and very like fidgety.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where she's reminded of Lenny. And Huey kind of clicks in there like, okay, so I'm kind of like that canary almost.
Well, and, you know, you get to the point here where you kind of see at least partially why Billy kind of chose Huey. Even if it was subconsciously or like inadvertently.
Yeah.
That he saw that connection.
Yeah, I think Huey grew on him because it completely reminded him of
his brother.
Yeah, of Lenny.
Yeah.
But then you come to find out Lenny passed away.
Right.
But did I forget why?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly. The aunt says something as to what happened to him.
Yeah. Sorry.
Let us know.
Yeah. Because we're stupid.
But in any case, right after that, they then start to hear creeping upstairs.
Yeah.
And they know then that Black Noir's in the house.
Yeah, and it's funny. I can just picture what Black Noir is doing because it's like one explosion and it's quiet for a bit and then one explosion. I can see him just walking through, boom, blows up, and he's just like shaking it off and then he's walking to the next room looking for somebody. Boom, explosion.
Yeah.
And this weird here.
This scene, it's almost like a scary movie almost.
It is because they're standing and then boom, and they all shake and they're like, uh-oh. And it's quiet. Then another boom, you're like, oh, shit. And you can hear footsteps. What I don't get here is Terror is incredibly quiet during the explosions.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But then it's dead quiet for like 30 seconds, and all of a sudden Terror decides to start barking.
I mean, they had to. That's how it would have been in a scary movie.
I know. But you know? It's just like,
oh.
He's too good of a boy. He wouldn't be barking at anything. Yeah. You know, if he's not barking the explosion, he's not barking at other stuff. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, so after the explosions are going off, I think they then realize, okay, like, we have to get out of here because what the traps we set are not stopping him.
No, so that's not what happens. They start to hear a little ding, 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 and it's a smoke grenade that comes down a pipe.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And rolls down to the floor, and he's like, MM. And so MM throws a...
I think he throws like a jacket or something on it.
To slow it down. And yeah. Then they have to bounce because they can't get the poison gas or whatever it is.
Right, right. And, they go back out of the like secret entrance, and they go upstairs, and they're about to like kind of all leave together.
Yeah.
And the house is blown to bits now, obviously. And as they're about to all leave, Billy kind of just turns back and looks at them. And then he goes back into the house and shuts the door.
And locks it.
Yeah. And Huey's there like,
no.
Billy, what are you doing?
I love you. No, it didn't. So, maybe it did.
Yeah. They're trapped there then. And Billy walks up to Black Noir.
He's like, calm. He's like, I know you're here, cunt.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the C word, not very popular here in the States, but no. In England, it's like, it's just an everyday word for them.
Pretty much a period at the end of the sentence.
Yeah, pretty much. So. Pretty much. But he is trying to, again, at this point, he's letting them know, like, hey, like, Black Noir's here for me. Maybe if I go, you guys have a chance to get out of here.
Yeah.
So he sacrifices himself.
Billy's the best at talking shit, by the way.
He is. Yeah.
So good.
The interactions that he has with people when he is given his witty banter.
And he's about to die.
Yeah.
You know? And he's just like, fuck it, I'm giving you all I got.
So him and Black Noir are about to get into it. And Black Noir is such a cool character because he has like his sword, he's got, you know, his daggers and whatever. And up to this point, the only peeps or sounds we've heard from Black Noir, I think we heard him grunt like once, and the one scene where he's like crying at his cell phone.
Yeah.
That's it. Has not said a word the entire time.
I love Black Noir.
But yeah, they start getting into it. And Billy is not. None of them are a match for Black Noir.
No, not at all.
Obviously.
So Huey comes in and tries to help out and punches Black Noir, and Black Noir just throws him.
Right.
And Huey's knocked down.
And Black Noir's about to go and try and kill Huey.
Yeah, I think he might have his hand on his neck already, and then somebody else comes in, starts shooting at him.
But wasn't there a part in between there, though, where... No, I'm thinking of the wrong thing. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
So MM pops in, starts shooting Black Noir. It's not affecting him. And like you said, he's got one of those throwing knives and he just whoosh.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. So they're about to go at it. MM comes in, starts shooting Black Noir. Black Noir's just taking these bullets. After that, Huey comes in, he starts shooting, does not hit Black Noir the first like five shots.
Yeah.
And then like the last like one or two hit Black Noir.
Yeah.
That's when he then like he throws a throwing knife at MM. He punches Huey. He goes flying, and then
it's just
he's like choking Huey. Then that's when Billy comes in with the I think it's like a fireplace poker.
It's the fire poker, yeah.
And he hits his arm, and
I think he's like, "I'm the one you're here for," something like that.
Right.
Know? So they go at it.
They start to tussle, and
don't last long.
No. Black Noir eventually gets to the point where he has Billy like choked up against the wall. He has him like lifted like
at least a foot off the
ground. Yeah, at least. And yeah, he basically
I love this part. It's just funny.
He tells him, you know, he knows the superhero's weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, all of them are worried about
secrets.
Right.
For the company, because he goes
they're worried about their careers.
You kill me, your career is done. Or you know, right. You kill them. Your career is done. And he's like, another thing that bugs me a little bit is this is always the go-to. I have pictures or videos of something. And that's what saves them.
Yo, pics or vids or it didn't happen.
Yo, for real. He's like, I have videos of a compound where Homelander's baby child is. And, you know, he dies. These things are going up on the air or somewhere.
He says they're going to go from the cloud straight to, like, CNN or whatever. You know,
and
some news network.
Homeland is going to be known as a rapist and stuff like that. So it's like, here we go again. I've got your secret, so you can kiss your career goodbye.
Yeah. But then out of nowhere, a cell phone starts ringing.
I forget what song it is, but it's funny because then it's Black Noir's cell phone. And you just see him pick it up real quick, put it to his ear.
Yo, I thought this was where we were going to get his first words.
Oh, really?
I thought he was going to start talking. And of course,
I thought it was Homelander at first. I forgot who it was when I watched the first time around.
I didn't know who was going to be calling necessarily, but I thought we were at least going to get like a hello, you know, something.
Nah,
but
bro.
We didn't get that. Essentially, Black Noir has a phone.
Puts it up to...
And then he puts it up to Billy, and we find out it's Mr. Edgar.
Yep.
And he's been watching the whole time because Black Noir has like a little like implanted body cam.
Yeah.
And he basically says to him like...
Do you have these videos? And he's like, yeah.
Oh, no, he says, you got
to
roll the dice.
Yep.
Cunt. He says, you know, I'll make you a deal. Like,
Black Noir doesn't kill you if those don't go out.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Mr. Edgar's like, here's my first and final offer. If that secret stays a secret, I call off Black Noir.
Yeah.
That's that.
And so he's like, cool, we'll make that deal. And he's like, all right, put Black Noir back on the phone. And I forget, Billy says something like, oh, your mom wants to talk to you.
He says, the missus wants to speak to you.
The missus wants to speak to you.
But yeah, so Black Noir gets called off. They're in the clear for the most part.
Huey asks Billy, like, do you really have those photos? And Billy's like, yeah.
Of course I do.
Yeah. And then,
which
he doesn't.
I don't think he does.
No, and Huey has a little smile on his face, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that. And then there's like the closing scene where he's saying goodbye to Terror again.
Yeah.
And he has a little Homelander toy. And he just goes, Terror, fuck it. And then he walks away. You just are hearing the Homelander toy squeaking and like saying his stuff. And
right.
You hear Terror panting.
Dogs are notorious for
fucking stuffed animals.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He fucked Homelander.
Especially in movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the end of the arc for the boys. Let's get to the superheroes here, because there was equally as much importance on their story. Not a whole lot of action.
Right.
Till the end.
Nah.
But equally as important stuff. So the beginning of the episode is actually a...
they're filming the movie Dawn of the Seven.
Right. So we got Maeve, and she's kind of in this area where there's been like an attack going on. She's looking for someone. What was the name of the?
I can't remember her name. It was pretty
Ruby.
Like, yeah.
She's looking for. She's like, Ruby.
Computer hacker.
Ruby.
Of sort, pulls her out of the rubble.
Yeah.
And this is one of those corny scenes in the movie. Like, you could tell that they're like, that's Maeve's love interest in the movie.
Right.
He's just like, I need. It's time for me to tell the world who I really am.
And she's like, what do you mean? She's like, I'm like you.
Who are you, Maeve? Yeah.
And she's like, I'm like you. I'm gay.
I'm gay.
And it's like the worst way you could even like deliver that kind of news.
It was weird, bro.
And it's not even written in a way that is like compelling or meaningful or anything like that. It's just like, I'm gay. So then they yell cut, you know, and the movie production stops or whatever. And Maeve immediately walks away and is just not happy.
Yeah.
She walks over then. Homelander's kind of sitting in like one of the director's chairs. And
she was like, look, he's like, look at what great job you did.
Yeah.
Isn't it nice to be free?
And she's just like, you know, you need to stop fucking with me.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I just want you to be happy.
Right. But clearly Maeve is not happy. She's not happy with what Homelander did to her on the talk show that they were on. She's not happy with this movie. The whole thing is just not, you know, anything that she wants to be happening.
Yeah.
Essentially this whole production is Vought's next big project for a couple of reasons. One, because they're kind of going through their whole girls get it done type thing. That's their new initiative.
Yeah, they have some scenes there.
Yeah.
They pretty much take a shot at the Avengers in this one, which is hilarious. Like where it's Endgame. Where all the girls come up together.
Yeah.
And they take a shot at them because they're like, all three girls are going, like, girls, get it done.
Yeah. And, you know, it's Maeve, Starlight, and Stormfront. And Starlight is not really liking the whole thing either, but she's like trying to act. And Stormfront is just like kind of making fun of her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's like, oh, you know, like you did such a good job with your acting, like being sarcastic with her and stuff. But the whole production, so there's that. But then also, this is kind of going to be the send-off for A-Train.
Yes.
A-Train, at one point, he's going over some lines, and he goes to the director. He's like, hey, I've made some changes, and I want you to let me know what you think. And essentially, the lines that A-Train's supposed to be delivering is like him basically saying like he's retiring, he's stepping down from the Seven, he's done. A-Train switches it around to kind of leave it as like an open-ended cliffhanger type thing. Like, yeah. Am I really done? And so the director's like, oh man, like you did such a good job. You put a lot of work into that. But we're going to go with it as we wrote it.
Yeah, take it to Ashley. She's the one who makes this decision anyway.
Right. And A-Train's just like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing these lines. You know, I'm done. And, you know, I don't want to do this movie. And the director's kind of just like, you know, whatever. You know, if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. But you got to talk to somebody else about it. It's not me.
Yeah.
So he says, talk to Ashley. Ashley, who has a couple different scenes here, she's a wreck.
Yeah.
She's been a wreck since she came back into the picture.
I would not take that job back. But
not at all. But essentially, when he does go talk to Ashley, she kind of has like a very Madeline type moment here.
Yeah. She did a good job with this situation.
She initially starts to say like, hey, like, you know, you're going to be fine. Like trying to give him the whole
spiel again, a parade.
Right.
And
you know,
that.
And saying like, it's going to be really nice. And he's like, no, I'm not doing it. And she just straight up lays the law down and says, look, you've got two choices. Either you do it how we want you to do it and you go out with some dignity, or you get fired.
Yeah. She goes, and your name's tainted forever.
Right.
Because she says you'll have two. The one first option is you get the severance package, you get the parades.
Right.
So you get some money, or you get fired
and you lose all that.
Pound V and having a freaking heart attack.
Right.
And it's
right.
Like, damn.
Yeah, because they have like a morality clause or something, like not do drugs.
Yeah.
Which is like, really? Y'all have a morality clause about drugs, but not about like just straight up murdering people?
Yeah, of course, dude. Of course.
Ridiculous.
So he ends up doing it.
Yeah. He does the lines, and it's funny because in this scene, it's an over the shoulder shot of Homelander talking to A-Train, and he's like, you know, I've had a good run, and
it's,
you know,
mentioning run a lot.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. But he's like, it's time for me to hang it up, you know, and it's over.
My favorite thing is, I know it's the dawn of the Seven,
but it's sunset for A-Train.
And yeah, you're right. This is hilarious because then it's over and you see Homelander walking away.
And he turns around and he's like, you did a great job, but it's like a body double.
It's a body
double.
It's
not even
Homelander.
A real Homelander.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, he delivered the lines, and that's pretty much the end for A-Train in this episode.
Yeah. Now the other, there's the heroes, or the soups, I should say, they kind of split off into a couple arcs here as well.
Yeah.
So there's Homelander who.
Do you want to go into Homelander?
Yeah.
I think we should finish with Homelander.
Okay. All right. No, yeah, you're right. We should finish with Homelander.
Let's go into Starlight.
Yes.
So Starlight is offset walking to go to get lunch, and she hears somebody talking, and it's her mom.
Yeah.
Talking with Stormfront. And she's like, what are you doing here? And Stormfront invited her. And there's a conversation going on, like, you should forgive your mom. Like, this stuff sucks. Da, 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 da. She's like, but people lie. I mean, somebody leaked Compound V to CNN. You know,
right.
Can you believe that? And she, like, brings that up randomly in the conversation.
Yeah. Mind you, Starlight still is not on good terms with her mom.
No. For lying about Compound V and her
and
dad.
Her whole life,
her
essentially.
Life. So they have a conversation, and Starlight's not having that shit with her mom.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty short-lived scene, but the most important thing here is Stormfront's kind of pushing herself into Starlight's life.
Yeah.
And also does mention Compound V being leaked to CNN. So
yeah. And she says it in a very, like, sarcastic type way.
Yeah. Like, pretty much, hey, I know it was you.
Yeah.
And so this leads to Starlight being a little iffy, so she goes into Stormfront's
trailer
for the movie and starts to, like, hack into her computer. Which her password's Adele.
Yeah, she had mentioned Adele at some point earlier in the episode, and I don't remember
why
the context.
But it was funny, she just knew it was Adele, and she's looking through her emails. But before she can get to them, she hears a door open, so she slams the laptop shut, and she pretends to be there
to confront
her about the mom situation.
Yeah, she starts tearing up, and she's like, you know, being emotional and saying, like,
and Stormfront starts to go, that's, wow, you're right, man, that was the best acting you've done so far.
Right.
And she's like, I
don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And then she goes, I know you leaked it. And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. The fire's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess lightning doesn't strike twice. Like, she's just being a dick.
Oh, yeah.
And
So now at this point, Starlight knows that Stormfront knows.
Yeah. And
so she tries to come back and is just like, well, you know what? What if I go and tell everybody that
you're Liberty
or you used to be Liberty? And Stormfront's kind of just like, and she's like, well, and what if I also tell people that you don't like certain people? And she's like, oh, you mean like non-superheroes? And she's like, or no, she says, you only like a certain kind of people. And she's like, oh, superheroes? And she's like, no, white people.
Yeah.
Because obviously, from the last episode, we know that Liberty, aka Stormfront,
is racist.
Is racist.
Yeah.
Super racist.
Yeah.
Actually, we find out two episodes ago. Oh, I didn't actually try that. But again, Stormfront just kind of shrugs it off and is just like, I don't care, you know, whatever. Now, the thing I do want to talk about here, Stormfront, since her introduction, has basically been putting on a front to her audience. And she has been very much a social media guru type person. Like, she uses the internet and social media for her following, because that's kind of the world we live in, even in real life. Like, a lot of things are influenced and to a degree controlled by social media.
100%.
And Stormfront knows this. So she uses that to her advantage.
Yeah, she mentions in a previous episode, I have three people making memes and I'm getting better ratings.
Right, right.
Because it's just posted on the internet.
And that plays an important part in this this episode.
And you start to kind of, you don't see fully, but you start to see her plan unravel here.
A little bit. So Stormfront and Starlight, they're arguing. And I think Stormfront's kind of just like shrugging it off because she knows, you know, she can... Starlight can put whatever she wants out there, and Stormfront will find a way to spin it.
Right, and you can tell Stormfront gets a little like back, like, "Oh, I like you. You got spunk," but you know,
yeah.
Starlight gets pissed and starts to get her glowy eye.
I thought we were gonna get like a throwdown here.
Yeah, but then none other.
There's a knock on the door. Then
yeah,
and in walks Homelander.
Which, you know, you just don't want to be on his bad side.
No. Well, the last time Starlight and Homelander had like a close interaction, he was basically about to kill her.
Yeah, with ease.
Right, right.
So he's like, everything going on right here? And Stormfront's like, yeah, just girl
practicing
talk.
Lines.
Yeah, stuff like that. So that gives Starlight her reason to leave. Like, she's able to get out of here. And that's pretty much the end of Starlight's stuff.
Right. Now, before we do get into Homelander, there's another...
Well, let's go to Maeve, too, because we still have to finish.
Yes, let's talk about Maeve. And then there's one other one that I want to talk about before we get to Homelander as well.
Yeah.
Maeve...
She's sitting down in a chair with her boo.
With Elena. And then she's got like the PR team and Ashley.
Yeah, the people who write the scripts for their real lives.
Right.
And basically they're just selling this stereotypical lesbian story.
Yeah.
And they want Elena to wear pantsuits.
They want her to be the masculine one in the relationship.
Yeah.
And Maeve to be the feminine lesbian. And they say like, oh, well, this tests better with audiences.
They're pretty much saying, don't be yourselves.
Right.
And this is where Elena does say, like, you do know Maeve's bi, right?
Right.
You know, and they're like, they don't give a fuck.
No.
Not at all. And this is starting to piss Elena off. And they're pretty much telling her, you have to be somebody else. And she's like, I'm not doing this.
Right. She's like, I don't want to be in a public relationship.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be in front of the cameras and fake and all this whatever.
So she walks off.
Well, she looks over at Maeve and is like, really? You're just going to sit there?
Oh, yeah.
Maeve's and not
like,
say anything or do anything?
Dead silent.
And you can tell Maeve wants to say something. But again, a lot of the superheroes, their weakness is they're trying to protect their career. And so Maeve knows if she speaks up here, like, it's just going to blow up in her face.
Yeah.
So Elena walks off. Maeve starts to follow her and, you know, is trying to console her and you know, get her back in. And she basically she reiterates to Elena, like, Homelander knows. And if you leave, if you go away, I can't protect you.
Yeah.
And she wants to keep her close so that, you know, if something happens, she can try to do something to not have Homelander kill her.
Yeah.
Because Maeve knows that's... She will use Elena as... what's the word I'm looking for? She'll use her against Maeve, essentially.
Yeah.
And then ultimately murder her.
Probably kill her. Yeah.
Right.
So she's like, I need you to do this so I can keep you at arms... Not arms length, closer than that.
Right.
So I can protect you.
And Elena's just kind of like, well, you know, if he can find me wherever I go, we don't... you know, what do we do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do to fix the situation? And Maeve just goes, we're going to take down that motherfucker.
Yeah.
And so now I'm wondering here, like, where does this go with Maeve? Because I think she knows she can't do this on her own.
Yeah.
So is there going to be a little team up action? I don't know.
Dawn of the Seven.
So that's kind of like the end of Elena and Maeve.
Of Maeve, but then Maeve shows up. Maeve with the other pops one up. That you want to talk about?
Right. Now it's very brief, but last time we saw the Deep, he's with the Church of the Collective.
We remember it now. Yeah.
Right. And at one point earlier in the episode, there's like a promo for Church of the Collective where the Deep is just going around and just being like a cheesy superhero. Like there's like
a guy who is making a move on a girl.
And he's like, hey, don't do that.
No, he goes, hey, man, not cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he walks through a door and there's two kids fighting. He puts his hands on his hip. He's like,
guys, knock it off.
Yeah, it's really bad.
And just all these like different like negative situations that he's trying to like make it seem like, hey, I'm here to, you know, fix this and whatever. And we find out there's the Church of the Collective. They're shooting this promo to kind of boost the Deep back up. And at the end of it, we see him with the leader of the Church of the Collective, whose name is Alistair.
Yeah.
And they
shake,
you know,
hands and do a little corny thing.
Yeah. But then also the Deep has an interview with his now wife. Last episode, we were getting a bunch of women who were interviewing for something that we find out at the end is interviewing to be his wife.
Yeah.
So his wife is Cassandra, the person that he chose. Mm-hmm. And they're doing like an interview and they're basically making their life seem like, you know, sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, that he's turned his life around, that he's very respectful. You should see the love notes he writes me every night.
Right.
Stuff like that. And then I do love there is a part. Well, this is towards the end. Do you have anything else you need to go with?
No. Okay. No.
So then towards the end of the episode, he's handing out books to people. It's a Church of the Collective book. And the one lady, I guess she must be homeless or something. She's like, they said there'll be food. He goes,
well, this is food for your soul.
This is food for your soul. And he keeps handing books out and then shows up Maeve.
Right.
And he's like, are you going to join? She's like, fuck no.
Yeah. He's like, well, you know, what are you doing here? And she's like, well, you need to get back into the Seven. But you need a woman to help convince everyone that you're not a piece of shit.
He goes,
you don't think I'm a piece of shit? And she's like, fuck no, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
And so Maeve is going to assist the Deep with getting back into the good graces here. And I'm just wondering, like, what's the play? Right. What's the play here? Because
my assumption is she probably thinks he'll probably fuck up again and it makes Vault look even worse.
Maybe. Yeah, that could be. Yeah. Because really, if she's trying to take down Homelander,
what does this help him
with? The Deep isn't going to be able to fight against him. Like, nobody pretty much can fight against Homelander. If anybody can, it's Maeve, maybe.
It's Ryan.
Oh, could be. So, yeah, that's the end of that arc.
Yeah.
Let's get into Homelander because he has a big piece.
Before we hit Homelander, one quick scene to also note is the Church of the Collective commercial. A-Train was watching it on his tablet, so it zooms out and you see him watching it, and it's quick, but it gives you another hint of how racist Stormfront is.
Yes.
She's like saying, yeah, but they start letting other people in, and you can't.
He's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, you know,
not as good of people or something like that. And it's like, he's like, do you got a problem?
Yeah.
And she's like, no.
He's picking up on her racism for sure.
100%. And she's hiding it decent. Like, she's like saying, like, we're superheroes at first, it sounds like. But that's not what
she's trying to make the distinction between soups and non-soups.
Yeah.
When really she is talking about white people and everyone else.
Yes. 100%. Just wanted to throw that in there. But let's hit with Homelander.
So Homelander, I think it was the last episode, he was his points were going down.
No, so his points go down big time because as he's finishing a scene, he goes off to talk to Ashley.
Oh,
and Ashley
says,
I need to touch on this because now
it's urgent.
This is showing something where it's like, him and Stormfront are kind of on the same page. So something urgent. So he's like, okay, fine, I'll watch it. And it's him coming down to stop a terrorist in like some third world country. And he just quickly lasers the terrorist and says, you guys are the real heroes, and bounces out.
I don't even think he says that.
No, I know. It's one of his home lines. But he's like, yeah, okay, so what? I stopped the terrorist. She's like, well, hold on. And the camera zooms, and you see this mom just screaming, crying.
Right.
And his laser accidentally killed
Some
kid. And, like, probably a teenager, young.
Right.
And it's like, uh-oh. And he...
Homelander kind of just like, whatever.
This is where you see he's on the same side. He's like, they can't afford food, but they can afford an iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of says some real fucked up shit.
Very, very much like, I don't even want to say borderline racist. Like, racist for sure.
Yeah. So you're like, shit, man, that was fucked up. But then what makes him mad is his points are going down.
Yeah.
Like, hard.
Yeah, I think he goes down, like, double-digit points.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
He says it out loud, and it's just like, what the fuck? And you see his face is just falling apart.
And Ashley's, like, essentially now saying, like, look, like, we're going to handle this, but, you know, let us handle
it. And he's like, no.
Let the marketing team figure out how we can, spin this and not have it as bad as it can be. And he's like, no, I'll do it. Like, let me handle it. And Ashley's like, no, like, you, like, please don't. And he's like, look, I don't take orders from you. I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah. So he walks away and she pulls out some more hair.
Yeah.
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 Is this where he then goes to the rally?
Yeah. So we cut then. There's a politician who is essentially having a rally to...
talk about this situation. Like, it's not okay.
Right. The public now knows that Homelander's a piece of shit and that Supes in general or Vought is essentially doing whatever they're doing, that the layers are starting to come back now. And they're seeing that Vought is not a good company.
Right.
And Supes are not necessarily good people.
To the public, yeah. I love it because, so Homelander shows up. She's talking about how this isn't great. Homelander shows up. And you're kind of like trying to figure out what he's saying. He's like, I love that Egyptian dance you did.
Yeah.
And so this is where I forgot, when this season first came out, they asked the actress like how it feels. She's playing a different version of AOC.
Right.
So that's where, so if you guys remember, AOC did like, in her college days, did like a dance for a class or something like that.
Oh.
So it's like people were picking on her for that. It's like Homelander's picking on AOC for this lady for that. For dancing, doing the same thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I forgot all about that, and I was like, "Oh yeah, she's supposed to be doing like a,
yeah." I was wondering what was up with that
of AOC. But yeah, so he comes in, dickhead comment right off the bat,
right?
Because he flies into this rally, just lands, and he's like, "Hey everyone, like, I'm sorry, nobody wants these kind of casualties, but."
It happens.
It happens. And some in the crowd's like, wait, how many times has this happened?
Right. Now, mind you, they all have signs that are basically saying, like, you know, no Supes in the military. Some of them are like directly against Homelander.
Yep.
They have signs like, you know, that Vought's a bad company or whatever. And so when he says that comment and someone's like, well, how many times has this happened? Homelander's trying to spin it again. He's like, well,
whoa.
Like, you know, if you were with me serving with the men and women in our military, you would know that this is kind of just the price of freedom.
Yeah.
And there's a guy kind of front row who's in his like army fatigues, and he's like, you don't speak for us. And so the crowd starts to chant. They're like, you don't speak for us. You don't speak for us. You don't speak for us. And Homelander, you can see him.
He's like clenching frustrated. His freaking mouth.
Yeah, yeah. You can see the muscles in his jaw just tensing. And then his eyes start to glow. And he just lasers the shit out of the whole crowd.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there. And like after he's done lasering them, he kind of just looks out and sees it's like hundreds of dead people.
Yeah.
But then you see it's just like what he thought in his head, what he wanted to do.
Did you think that was real?
No. I knew it wasn't real.
Okay.
I knew it wasn't real. Homelander, while that's absolutely what he wanted to do, he would not be stupid enough to do something like that.
Because he wants everybody to love him.
Right, right. Well, not only that, but he knows that that would essentially tank his career.
Right.
He'd be done. So I knew it wasn't real. I knew it was going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, that just was in his head.
It was bloody, though.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? It was like people just exploding and...
turning to half and smushed.
Getting severed, blood going everywhere.
It was like human slushy.
Oh, yeah.
On the ground. Yeah.
Exactly. It was disgusting. Gross. But we come back then...
And he tries to calm it down more, and he can't.
He's just like, hey, calm down, everyone. Calm down. And the crowd is just not having it. They're still chanting, and he's just like, all right, you're the real heroes. and he just flies out of there.
Then you get Ashley looking at this live, and she's pulling out hair
huge
out,
chunks of hair. Yeah,
it's like, God damn, we feel so bad for you right now.
I don't feel bad for Ashley.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for
Ashley.
Do I feel bad that she's obviously suffering from this, you know, condition where she's pulling her hair out? Sure, a little bit. But Ashley's, you know, just another,
born, you know.
Yeah, she's another shitty person.
Yeah. And then what's crazy is you get Homelander in this tunnel and he is just.
He's watching like clips of everything going on.
And he's mad at himself. He's like banging his head against the wall, crying, like, and just calling himself an idiot and everything. It's like, God dang. So this is when he goes to Stormfront for help, because she has mentioned, like, I can help
you. A few times.
Yeah.
She's like, I can help you, you know, with anything you need.
Yep.
And so he goes to see her, and she starts making, she starts having, you know, memes made that are kind of flipping the situation and making Homelander seem like a good guy.
Right.
And, you know, that the situation that happened with killing the kid was like fake and a hoax.
No, this is not what that's going to happen in here. This is picking, like she said, you've got to get soldiers on your side.
Right, but the one meme that was made, it had like the picture of the kid and it said fake CGI.
Oh, okay. But then the other ones are just like, I want my terrorists, like something, I forget what it's like, saying I want them close to me.
Right.
Or something like that. And it's starting to like say, like, okay, I'm going to go on this side of the tracks,
right,
for people that I want to support me. I'm going to start being more on their beliefs. So as that goes on, she's like, I'll call you or whatever when this stuff hits. And when you see your aunt share it on Facebook, you know it hit.
Right, which is absolutely the way it works in the real world. Like,
yeah,
you have, you know, Uncle Jim Bob, who is sharing stuff that is clearly propaganda and not true on Facebook. And then it spreads like wildfire. And then you have, you know, situations happen. I'm not going to get into it. This isn't a political show.
We've been there.
But so it's exactly how it would play out in real life.
So he comes back later, and that's actually the whole Starlight situation.
Right.
Starlight leaves, and
Homelander walks in, and he's like, hey. And she goes, what's up? And he goes, me.
I went up this many points or whatever.
Yeah, 9 points, I think.
Yeah.
Which he had gone down by more than that, but still, he improved.
That's a lot of points, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to say thank you. So he goes, hey, I owe you.
Right.
And she's like, oh, well, how will you ever repay me?
I wonder.
So, you know, you go through the whole show, but then you get back to Homelander and Stormfront, and they're in either Homelander or Stormfront's apartment.
They're at Vault Tower.
Yeah, and Stormfront gets thrown to the wall. You're like, what the fuck's happening? And it turns out Homelander and Stormfront are getting it on.
Yeah, they start making out.
The roughest sex scene you will ever see.
Ever. They start making out, but then they're like hitting each other. They're throwing each other across the room. And
she pushes him pretty hard.
Like, oh yeah,
she can handle Homelander like strength wise.
Well, and this is the thing. Like I had mentioned in the last episode, like she's basically the female version of Homelander. When I was talking then, I was talking more about like her personality. But now we're starting to see, like, on a power level, she pretty much is like his counterpart. Like, she can take his hits, and she's dishing it back out just as much.
Then you find out, like, she's like, his eyes glow red. She's like, go ahead, you know you want to. And he's like, I'm gonna slice you in half.
She goes, go ahead.
Do it right. He, like, here on her boobies.
Just quick lasers her, like super quick, and like you can see her skin is like burnt to shit.
Yeah.
And she's just like, what? That's all you're gonna do? Like, nah, like, hit me.
Don't stop. And yeah. So he goes for
he
a
goes,
while.
He starts lasering for a minute, and she's like, oh my gosh, that hurts. And he stops and he's like, whoa. He's like kind of like, oh man, like, am I really hurting you? And she's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Laser my tits.
Yeah. And he goes, he just starts melting
and
her.
She's getting off on it.
Yeah.
And
then one thing leads to another, and they start fucking in the air.
Yeah, that's how it ends.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, they're in the air fucking.
Yeah. Crazy episode in general.
Yeah.
We're coming down here towards the end of this season. There's a few episodes left. And kind of like season one, we're now at the point where it's like, okay, is there going to be like a big build up to this last episode, what's going to happen? Because this is kind of like the foundation of what seems to be a buildup here. We've got Maeve, who is now kind of seemingly turned against Homelander, not necessarily Vought, not necessarily against Supes, but specifically Homelander.
Yep.
We've got the boys who are kind of back together now, and they're who knows what's going to happen there. We've got the Deep, who is now going to be intertwined in whatever plot Maeve has going on. So there's a lot of different moving parts. So there's two things. One, I'm wondering like what's going to be the buildup, and two, what loose ends aren't going to get tied up, because there's too much stuff going on right now that they're not going to be able to finish it in these last couple episodes. But also, they're going to want it to be that way. They want there to be a cliffhanger to lead into season three. I'm assuming, anyway.
You thought season one ending was wild, dude.
I mean, it was.
You thought it that was wild, bro. Wait till this season was so good.
Oh my gosh.
I'm remembering. Like, I obviously remember the season finale, but like, I remember everything builds up, and I remember what happens in the season finale. Man,
okay,
you're not even ready.
You know what? Maybe I'm not, but I like that.
That's
looking forward to
the whole point of the show, right? You know? So
it's like you don't know what's going to come next, and even if you think you know, it's like, you know, you're wondering like how far are they going to take it? And I feel like every time I've asked that question, I'm like, no, they didn't just get to the edge. They drove a car off a cliff
at high speeds.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens in these last couple episodes. I'm excited to then get into season three.
Very good.
But then after that, you know, we're going to watch Gen V, and I haven't really heard anything about Gen V. I've heard it's good. But I'm wondering, like, is it the boys? Yeah, is it like over the top? Is it crazy? Is it more focused on like the drama? You've clearly not watched it either, but you know, we've had some mutual friends who have watched it, and they've said it's good.
That's all we know.
Yeah. We know it's good, but we don't know what it's like.
I have heard that you should watch it before season four of The Boys. So
yeah, I mean, I think if you're not gonna watch that, you might miss out on some stuff.
Yeah, so we're gonna watch it.
Absolutely,
I'm gonna watch it with you.
But that's the end of this episode. We are definitely excited to be hearing back from more of you. We're getting a little bit more interaction with people. But we are going to, and I know we've said it for a little bit now, look out for a clue today.
Today.
On the next show that we're going to be watching. It's going to be starting in a few weeks, shortly after our Avatar podcast wraps up. Exactly. We're going to get right into another show, and then we've discussed, you know, kind of the rest of the year, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. Mm-hmm. We have some shows in mind that we want to watch, that we want to, you know, review and talk with you guys about, but also we want to know what you want to watch. What are you excited for coming? I tell you right now, June is like jam-packed with a bunch of different shows. So if any of the shows that are coming out for the rest of the year are things you're excited for, let us know.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we will catch you on the next episode of The Boys, and we'll see where things go.
Hell yeah.
All right, everybody. Peace.